Hello, this is Dr. Carol Myers. Welcome to Health Connections, the show about people, health, and policy. Contrary to popular opinions and perceptions, health care and personal choices do not constitute the biggest portion of what comprises overall health. When we look at socioeconomic factors, they actually contribute the most at 40%. This includes income, education, early childhood development, and housing, which is our topic today. We also look at health behaviors, which contribute about 30% to overall health. Clinical care, which most people would rate much higher, contributes about 20%. And then we have the physical environment at 10%. The need to address healthcare costs that continue to rise without an increase in quality or improved outcomes underscores the need for a new approach. Increasingly, addressing housing and other social determinants of health are being cited as the new frontier when it comes to increasing value in healthcare, and value includes achieving better outcomes while paying less. Housing is being addressed by a number of prestigious national organizations, the National Academy of Medicine, the Centers for Disease Control, and the National Governors Association. Clearly, housing is being increasingly recognized as a key driver and major social determinant of health. As such, I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Leslie Buer to Health Connections today. Welcome, Leslie Marie.
Thank you.
Leslie Marie is the Healthy Development Coordinator for the East Region of the Tennessee Department of Health. The office serves the 15 communities surrounding but not including Knox County. Dr. Buer, could you talk to us about your background and your position, please?
Yeah, so I'm actually a medical anthropologist with also a master's degree in public health. And so I sort of merge social sciences and public health. And my work focuses on several different areas, neighborhood design, transportation, parks, food resources, and housing. And we think all of these issues are very much related to health. And part of that 40% you talked about of sort of social status, social position, and that 10% of what we call built environment, or sort of what our environment looks like around us.
Great. So a lot of times when we talk about housing, we talk about individuals that have no homes, homeless individuals. And certainly that's a problem that warrants discussion. But today we're going to talk about other things, folks that we need to be concerned about the quality of their housing and the affordability, which sometimes have a direct link to being homeless. But let's focus on quality. How does the quality of a housing affect health?
Well, we know that poor quality housing can expose people to things like mold, chemical toxins, and temperature extremes. And I know a big issue in our region as well is bed bugs. We get a lot of calls on that. And just some statistics around that, we know that about 40% of asthma cases in children under 6 can be traced to indoor air pollutants, and so that's certainly a concern. And around 400 Tennessee children under age 6 each year have elevated blood lead levels, which is often because of the quality of housing. And when children are exposed to lead like this, which we know from what happened in Flint, Michigan, is this can lead to lifelong impairments in children. So this is a very big concern for us at the Tennessee Department of Health.
And as you look at East Tennessee, where would you rate us, you know, just approximately as far as quality of housing? Is this a major issue in the 15-county area that you deal with?
It is absolutely an issue, especially in counties that have older housing stocks. So, for example, Oak Ridge has the housing that was built all at once during the certain time period in World War II. And so that, as those houses age all at sort of the same time, that can be a huge problem. Also in some of our counties that have old timber camps or coal camps, that can be a huge concern as well, because those houses were not built to be really long-term. So it really becomes an issue as those houses really age out of what they were supposed to last.
Okay. And then since so much of the 15-county area is rural, I would suppose there are special problems associated with being in rural areas where we see higher rates of poverty and other social conditions that can impact health.
Yes, we do see higher rates of poverty, as well as infrastructure becomes an issue, especially when we're thinking about well water and septic systems and things like that. So where maybe the pipes may not be as well maintained as they would be within a denser city limits. And that's, of course, an issue across the U.S. in rural areas.
In addition to the quality of housing, there's also the issue of affordability of housing. Can you speak about affordability in our 15-county region?
Yeah, so generally affordable housing cost, it's basically when your housing costs less than 30% of your gross monthly income. And I think people assume that affordable housing is really only an issue in urban areas, but we know that's not the case. It is a huge issue in rural areas as well, where there may be limited housing stock, and so prices actually go up more than we would expect. And in Tennessee overall, over 44% of renters are cost burdened or spend more than 30% of their gross monthly income on rent and utilities. And we do know that that's a little bit higher in urban areas, especially in Nashville, Memphis, Knoxville, Chattanooga. But it is still an enormous issue in rural areas as well, especially you mentioned the higher poverty. So if you do have more houses with lower median incomes, then therefore they're oftentimes spending more of that income on housing.
So let's talk about what the implications are of spending more than 30% of your income on housing. What gets crowded out?
A lot of things. And this comes in both terms of money and in terms of time. People become very time poor, I suppose. So if you are having to work more to pay for your housing, you're not going to have time to cook healthy meals, go for a walk with your children, or even to spend time with family and friends, which we know is a huge stress reducer as well. So in terms of more of the resources, financial resources, lack of affordable housing negatively affects mental health due to stress and prevents people from spending money on things like healthcare and nutritious food. And so just some data behind that, we know that families that have trouble paying for housing are 84% more likely to delay necessary medical care and 116% more likely to not take prescribed medications. So they may not be getting the clinical care they need as well.
So it sounds as if clinical providers, to really be addressing the needs of their patients, need to be considering more than just the condition for which they present themselves when they do.
Exactly.
When I first met you, I was intrigued by an innovative project that you told me about in Blount County, looking at housing. Could you share your story with the listeners about your work?
Absolutely. So we have an affordable housing planning and design project located in a Blount County mobile home park. So a nonprofit, Harbor's Gate, began offering classes and resources in the community. And these classes range from health education to group counseling for things like substance use, but also grief. So I am working with Harbor's Gate, community residents, and an intern, Maggie House, from UT's College of Architecture and Design to produce three resources for the community. So first, we're creating an overall health-based community design for the mobile home park that takes into consideration things like food resources and physical activity. So that might result in something like a playground equipment, walking trails, or community gardens. So second, we are creating individual designs for the small plots of land that may include but also go beyond mobile homes. So we're trying to think through ways to build sustainable and energy efficient but relatively small homes. And these may range from tiny homes, which are only about 400 square feet usually, up to more of the what we see in single wide or double wide mobile homes, which would be 1,000 to 1,200 square feet. So lastly, we are examining different ways to own the land and trailer in mobile home parks, whether that looks like individual land ownership, a co-op, a nonprofit owning the land, or a community land trust.
Okay. So this is work that you're doing with community partners, which in of itself is absolutely fascinating, the
yes.
partners you've mentioned. But it's in an existing mobile home park. Do you see applications to new housing developments, mobile home developments, et cetera, to address the need for affordable housing?
Yes, and I think, this is a moving process within Knoxville, but also within the surrounding counties of how we think about this and how we do coding for this and think about how land is used. And so I know there is a new tiny home development going on in Knoxville. So I think as we move through these different options of tiny homes, mobile homes, modular homes, there are definitely options of providing new housing. But we think from the Department of Health, we think it's very important when planning these communities to get very considerate of health and how community plans can affect things like transportation, people's access to employment, food resources, and access to health care.
Classic example of health in all policies.
Yes.
I want to go back to the idea of the community partners, cross-sectoral partners that are coming together in your initiative in Blount County. But I want to know particularly about the role of the residents of the mobile home. Can you talk to how they're engaged and how they help to contribute to the project?
Yeah, so as I said, I'm trained as an anthropologist, and we are very much trained to do community engagement, which is what I have done in the past. And so this involves a variety of different ways. First, we are doing individual interviews, which means myself and our intern, Maggie, we go and sit down with people in their homes and talk to them about, what are the issues they are facing now? What are their hopes for the future? How can a community design or a house design help them reach their full potential? And so I think it's very important to have those individual conversations with people. I've also been sort of hanging out in the community a bit, going to some of the group sessions, meeting with people, just walking around, getting a feel for the community, which I think is important. And lastly, in design, they practice what they call charrettes, which I think in most people's terms, they would think of a focus group of people coming together in a group and trying to collectively think about what do we want this community to look like. And so I think it's important to talk to people about their current concerns, but also how they can really visualize their future and being true in implementing those visualizations in any way you can.
This project is so exciting when I think about how we're beginning to look at health beyond healthcare and the personal choices that you make, how we're beginning to know that it really does take a village, that we have to look at people we wouldn't normally think about, what I call the unusual suspects, people from transportation, people with an energy background, people from architecture and design, to begin to say, how do we address these deeply rooted health problems that we find. So thank you for being here on Health Connections today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I love being able to spread the message of what we're doing at the Department of Health.
It's a great message. Thank you.
Hey, podcast listeners. This is Brandon Hollingsworth, your usual host for Health Connections, with a little extra here at the end. The League of Women Voters in Blount County is hosting a public forum on the status of affordable housing in Blount County. They'll be touching on some of the topics you just heard about in this edition of Health Connections. That's Thursday, September 27th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Blount County Public Library. We'll see you next time on Health Connections.